Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I don't necessarily subscribe to this amount of money is on the table compared to this amount of money. You have to take one with money just because it's more money.
Yeah, I'm
you
with you.
You know what I mean? And he may think, like I said, like everybody else. But if I'm his friend, if I'm his advisor or whatever, I'd be like, look, bro, just know you don't have to take more money. If you don't want to go there,
that's my alarm.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got a keyword to give out.
We
got to
do what we
got to
do, yeah. For people who want money.
Yeah. That is the keyword alarm. Head over. Your last opportunity, by the way, to win a $500 gift card. Head over to ESPN1320.com right now. I've never heard that noise before. I didn't program that. That was an interesting noise. Head over to ESPN1320.com right now. Click on the Nothing But Net giveaway and enter the keyword dunk. Perfect for the guy we're talking about.
Yeah.
Enter the keyword dunk right now for your chance to win. Your last chance to win $500 over at ESPN1320.com. You could do it through desktop. You could do it on your phone. You could do it on your laptop or your iPad or whatever. ESPN1320.com. Click on Nothing But Net. Enter the keyword dunk. As we welcome in James Hammond, the Insiders. James, you'll never guess who we're talking about.
Malik Monk.
That's a good guess. That is a good, good guess. We're weighing Malik's options for him.
That's what we do.
We're trying to plan Malik's Monk financial. We're trying to plan his financial future. We've established Orlando doesn't even need him after scoring 121 points last night. Cooking. It's like
I wouldn't mess up.
Come on, this is just redundant at this point.
Matter of fact, they should run it back.
I agree. So we're just trying to work everything. We're advising Malik Monk here through the radio show.
Yeah, I think it's a perfectly normal thing to do.
It is.
It's what I plan on doing the entire next month is trying to figure out ways to convince Malik Monk this is the right spot for him to be. I'm like, look, I think there is, like, he's going to have plenty of time to make money here, right? And that's where I would caution, like when we started this season out, I think, you know, he's probably a $14, $15 million a year player. I think now he's worked himself up to be like a $18 to $25 million player per year. And that's amazing for Malik. I'm super happy for him. He's a good dude and he hasn't made a ton of money in the NBA. He's made plenty of money, but not like astronomical money. But I would also, like what you guys are kind of saying, I mean, he's 26 years old. If he took a two-year deal right now, he would be 28 years old within the options. And I'm just going to bring this up. The options to not only get paid by the Kings right then, but by every other NBA team during a time, a season, when the new television deal kicks in and the contracts are going to go bananas. And so if I'm Malik, I would say, okay, what does the next 2 years look like? And then what does the 2 years look like after that? And how advantageous could this be for me as a player? So I think for Malik, if you were to stick around in Sacramento, this is how I would, if I were pitching to him, like you guys are, I would say, look, if you stick around in Sacramento for 2 years, you'll have full Larry Bird rights. And not only that, as the Kings, They'll give you the full 4-year, 78 point, whatever million dollar deal, but with an opt out, a player option after it. 2 years.
Yep.
So that player option. So we're going to secure you right now. You're at least going to make 36, 37 million bucks over the next 2 years. Right.
But you're guaranteed to make 78. Right, you are. That's important. Yeah. You're guaranteed to make 78. Yep.
If everything goes horribly wrong and, you know, everything goes badly, then you can be here until you're 30 and you can make the full 78. But if it doesn't and everything is going great, like you're going to be able to make a whole lot more money in the summer of 2025 or 26, whatever that is, than you can today. Mm-hmm. And so you probably shouldn't be signing a 4-year deal anyways. And then on top of that, as the Kings, you can say, when that contract does come up, remember that we have bird rights to you, which means we can go above the cap to sign you. But on top of that, we can offer you 8% raises where no one else can. And we can offer you a 5th year where no one else can. Like, we can start building out what it is that it is to sign with your own team, because those are sort of the things that the NBA has built in so you can retain your own free agents. So a standard NBA free agency deal, he can only sign for 5% raises, right? With your own team, you can sign for 8% raises every year. And so these are like mechanism built in. And you just have to, if you're the Kings, you have to hope that you've done enough to show him that not only is he loved, but that he has a position and that he has a future with your team, and that your team has a future, and that you're going to go out and improve the roster so we don't have this situation where you fall short of the playoffs again. These are all things that I would pitch to Malik, that like, look, the next step for us as a team with you will include this, this, and this. And that's what we want to get to with this group, but we understand this group is flawed and we're going to go get these pieces to help and to make sure that you're in the best position to succeed both on and off the court here in Sacramento.
To be honest with you,
and may sound like I'm biased or whatever, that's the move. That's the deal to make. The two and two is the move, because you have the 78 locked in for sure. So if anything goes bad, you're at worst coming away with 78. But if you want to talk about maximizing your dollar and maximizing this opportunity right now, and just the way the league is going, you don't want to be locked into any 4-year deal. Hell, whether it's in Sacramento or somewhere else, you want the 2-2 regardless. Can other teams give you the 2-2 as well?
Yeah. Other teams can give you, I mean, they can do the same thing the Kings did, where they gave them like part of the mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, that would be much less. But yeah, as a free agent, he can sign with a new team for up to 4 years.
The 2-2 is the move. And you know, you could sell Sacramento they'll be able to take care of him, you know, the way he'd want to. But that's the move. And this is me just getting off the heels of James. I was just talking about how everybody, you know, talks about Malik and this situation. And, you know, the common thought is, you know, if $100 million is out there, you know, you have to take it. Like, you just got to take it. And I'm like, well, not so fast. Like, depending on what's important to you, you don't always have to take the money. Like, if you like it where you're at, they're paying you comfortably and handsomely, and you might not even like Orlando. Like, the deciding factor, or the factor that pushes you over the edge, I don't think should be that they're paying you more money. And some people it might be, and that's fine. I'm not even talking bad about those people. But some people are like, you know what? I got $80 million here where I want to be. That's crazy. Dame just left the game. Man. Dame just left the game in Indiana right now. Walking gingerly back to the locker room. They're already down 14. So, wow, this series is getting crazier and crazier. But, you know, like, if you like where you're at and they're paying you a respectable wage and something that's going to take care of you, you know, for the foreseeable future, just because people think – the whole point is, just because people say, well, that's more money, you have to take that more money. I don't know if that necessarily should be the case.
No, I'm with you. But again, we know that money makes the world go round. And so at the end of the day, Malik does have to do what's best for him. And the reason why I always bring this up is like, look, you know, Malik is 26 right now. Let's say somehow Malik has 10 years left in him as a player. He plays until he's 36. That might not be the case. He might play till he's 33 or 34, or whatever. But let's just say he's got 10 years left, right? Then he's 36 years old and he's got a whole nother 40 years, 50 years to live. Like, and he's not going to make money like this ever again. And he, you know, he doesn't have like the finance degree to fall back on. So whatever he's making right now is basically the money for the rest of his life. You know, he will make some money. And then at some point, you know, if his years of service, he'll start making, you know, sort of the MBA's, the pension where you get, I think it's $800 a month for every year of service. So if it's 10 years in the league, he'll make $8,000 a month and like $96,000 a year. But this is like, again, this is his moment to cash in. And there's nothing to say that he'll like his trajectory right now will continue at all. So like he has to be cautious with this, and I get it. And I really do think it's going to come down to how much does somebody offer. If we're talking the difference in a couple of million bucks, it's going to be a very difficult decision for Malik. If we're talking about the difference in, you know, someone comes up with $30 million a year, it's like we should all like wave to him as he leaves and say, you know, good for you, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we're happy for you, and you go get your money. And then the Kings have to reset and find the next Malik Monk and keep pushing forward. But if it's negligible, if it's a $20 million offer, $22 million offer, and realistically, all you're looking at is the first 2 years of the deal, because that's all Malik should be looking at is the first 2 years of the deal. Then, you know, you got to make some really tough decisions there. And I do think that the Kings will be in the running.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to be in this. They're going to be in this conversation. Once you move past Malik, and I know that's going to be the focus of conversation till the first or second week of July. KC brought this up earlier. We were talking about it with Chris Biederman. Once you get past that, is the next most important thing for next season, Keegan Murray?
What do you mean? It's extension?
I'm not talking contract-wise. I'm talking about in terms of this team taking the next step. KC talks about him being a more consistent scorer, not kind of having the peaks and valleys that we've seen from Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, but being that guy on a night-to-night basis where, all right, we know we're going De'Aaron and Domas. You know Domas is only going to be so aggressive. You need an aggressive guy. You have, obviously this is an extreme example, but something like what we saw against the Golden State Warriors in that first play-in game, something similar to what we saw really in the first quarter of that play-in game against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, so for me, I would say today, yes, Keegan Murray is the most important piece of the Kings' future for the next 5 years. But that's today. Like, if the Kings make a big move on draft night, or they make a big move on July 1st, you know, they make a big trade, then maybe he's not. So I think for today, yeah, you know, you're writing his name as like the biggest growth piece that you have on your team. He's the guy that can actually go out and become, you know, something much bigger than he is today. But that's just today. That's today's roster. And so I would hope that the Kings have much bigger plans and have the ability to at least add a player of his, like, of Keegan's level. And then it can be more of a shared thing, or it could be like, well, this guy could actually take a big leap as well. Or you get a player who's really good already, and that becomes like your big three with Keegan as your fourth or Monk as your fourth. Like, I think we're just so early in the summer that it really is tough to like pin your hopes to Keegan Murray's development as like the end all be all, because I really do believe that this team is their Keegan Murray gigantic leap away from being a really good team, but to be a great team, they're probably one or two players as well involved in and that leap by Keegan in order for them to take like a huge, tremendous like step forward where we start talking about them as a contention team.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, the only reason that, you know, I bring up Keegan that way is because that's the known, right? Like, obviously, I think they should trade for somebody or, you know, Malik Monk sign back or whatever. But we know Keegan's going to be back. And I talked about it in a sense of, like, De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis had outstanding seasons, all NBA caliber seasons. And I think they're both about where at their ceiling, right? Like, maybe if Fox shoots the free throws a little bit better, he can add another point or two per game on his average, maybe assist or two more here and there. Maybe if Domas shoots two more times in a game, he could be 20 to 21 or something like. But I mean, for me to come on here and say I need them to be better next year, that's asking a lot. They're already at such a high level. I think they'll be where they're at and maintain this level, maybe not go ahead. But I look at the roster and I say, you know, where is the improvement? And I think Keegan can make that big jump, you know, to go. He made an improvement from his rookie season to his second year. Now make the improvement to be more consistent and more aggressive on a regular basis in that third year. And if he is that, it could take this team to another level either way, whether they add somebody or not.
Well, yeah, I agree with you that he can take that leap and that he really should take that leap. But at the same time, like, this can't all be about Keegan. Like, it's got to be about the team improving, because Keegan can't mask the deficiencies that this team has. Even prime Keegan is going to have a tough time masking the deficiencies that are currently existing with this team. So, you know, again, I don't want to put too much pressure on a young guy. I agree with you, like Sabonis and Fox, you might be capped out at like who they are. And maybe you can get a little bit more. Maybe you can get a little bit more out of De'Aaron, but you probably don't need a little bit more. It really, you know, it's a combination for me. It's a combination of Keegan being a better player, but also Keon Ellis being a better player. And you know, again, if Malik Monk is back, Malik Monk being a better player, Malik still has potential to grow and be a better player. And then on top of that, like, they still need more. Like, if we're talking contention, if we're talking a big time team, you know, look around the league and look who you're competing with. And, you know, as Keegan Murray gets better, Jalen Williams is going to get better. And, you know, as Fox maintains, so does SGA. And, you know, so you're looking at these other teams that you're sort of competing with as development teams, and some of them have taken a huge leap past you, and you need to figure out how to get to that level again, and maybe even more, if you want to push through and be a team that's considered a contender.
Yeah, real quick, De'Aaron Fox, 5 straight years of 20 plus points per game, 21, 25, 23, 25, 26. Man,
still don't get no respect.
Man, oh man.
He's entering the consistency of Mitch Richmond when Richmond was here. Mm-hmm. What do you have, like 8 years over 21.5 points per game? Mm. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. We're talking about Keegan, Malik. Like, what do you think today? This is probably a multi-layered question here. Today, what do you think Keon Ellis's role is with the Sacramento Kings next year?
I think it just depends. I mean,
like, do you think, like, Malik and Monty and Mike, like, they might just have a question mark next to his name?
Yeah, they might have a question mark, but if I'm the Kings, like, I'm looking at him as, like, the potential starting shooting guard on next year's squad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I look at him, but that doesn't mean that that's how they look at him. Like, he's young, he's going to make mistakes, he's going to have the game that he did against Golden State followed by a game that he had against New Orleans. And that's because he's a young player. And it's exactly what you dealt with Keegan. You know, there are two guys that are part of the, 2022 NBA draft. Whether Keon was drafted or not, that's his draft year. and you get to a certain point in the season and they show their inconsistency in a way that just is something that young players do. And so that's fine. But I would just continue to say, like, look, if the Kings lose, if they lose Malik Monk, it's totally different. Like, I think it changes things for multiple players on that team. Like, does that open the door for Kevin Huerter to stick around? Does that, if, you know, if Malik is gone and you can't find a Malik type replacement as a six man, does Keon Ellis become that? And you've got to go out and get a guy who averages like 18 to 20 points a game at the shooting guard position to pair with De'Aaron Fox. Like, so I think that there are too many variables that are unknown at this point for us to like start making like rash judgments about which player means what to the team. And, you know, even if it's July 15th, like between now and then, we're going to learn a whole lot more about the direction of this team and what type of, you know, squad Monty wants to build. And even then it probably won't be done, but we have to see what that next iteration of this team looks like. Personally, I think having Keon Ellis is such a huge luxury because now you have a guy who basically can give you starter level minutes, starter level production, give you sort of the things you've been missing as far as a defensive player. And he's a knockdown 3-point shooter. And on top of that, he's basically free in NBA standards for the next 2 years. And you still have him locked up for another, you know, you can lock him up for another 4 years after that with his rookie scale extension. So you have all kinds of options when it comes to Keon. And that's a good thing to have. And you need to create more Keons because that anytime you have $50 million players or $45 million players, you got to have a couple of $2 million players on your roster to balance it all out in the end.
We'll ask this question a number of different times throughout the off season and the summer, but we'll start here. A lot of people keep talking about Harrison Barnes and, you know, bring somebody in and Harrison will go to the bench. Do people kind of maybe take that situation for granted and just be like, just assuming that Harrison will be okay with going to the bench or be open to it? Or do you think he's like that type of player where he won't, you know, he'll put his pride aside and say whatever for the team, kind of like Malik Monk did this year?
Yeah, I think Harrison is a type of player that understands that, you know, what is he, 32, going on 33?
31. Yeah, I think he's 31, right? I don't know.
I think he turned 32. But he's the type of player that looks and says, hey, I got $37 million left on my contract here over the next 2 years. And whether it's here or somewhere else, he set himself up for life. And like, he wants to be a huge part of what they're doing. But at the same time, he understands that like his inconsistencies over the last 2 years, it's not like he doesn't know that people talk about it. You know, like they do. I asked him specifically about it in the postseason exit interviews about, you know, his consistency throughout this season and how that's not so much what we've seen from him throughout his career. Certainly he's had, you know, games where he disappears in the past, but not for stretches like he did this year. And he said he was searching for his role the whole year, like trying to figure out and trying to be a good teammate and all that. I would say the same thing. Like if they find a much better player to take his minutes or a player who fits better in the starting lineup and Harrison's still here, that's the way it goes. You go out there and whatever minutes you get, you're fighting tooth and nail. And like, I would continue to make the argument, if Harrison Barnes is your third forward, you're probably pretty good. You know, that means that you're probably a pretty solid team. And, you know, so I wouldn't be shocked if Harrison was around next season just because what he means to everybody. But also, like, they're going to have to make a move or two here. You just don't know if it will include him.
Is he two things. Harrison turns 32 on May 30th.
Okay, my bad.
Is Harrison a tradable? Is Harrison an asset?
Yeah, he's okay. So I think
I don't feel like his contract is problematic.
No, it's not. No, I mean, when you look at him, you have to look at his contract and Herter's contract as far as like a percentage of the salary cap. We've talked about this before. And both of these guys are like 12.5-13% of the salary cap. That's a movable contract without any question. Mm-hmm. The two of them together are movable contract. Like a package deal is still movable. There are teams out there who have players who make in the $30 million range who that, you know, that they would move off of or might be like looking to move off of. And so, yeah, I think he's totally a movable contract. If you were to just trade him straight up, go out in the open market and try to deal him for something else, I mean, you might have trouble getting dollar for dollar value, but I don't think he's a player like where we got with Rashawn Holmes, where you had to throw in a pick in order to move his salary. And the Kings don't have any incentive to do that anyways. There's literally no incentive for them to move him with a pick to try to clear up salary space, because even if you traded Harrison Barnes, you'd still only be like $8 million under the cap, and that won't even cover the mid-level exception. And so you wouldn't even be under the cap. So it doesn't really like behoove you to trade Harrison Barnes unless you have like something coming back and to replace him.
Mention something Scooter 916 says or asked. He doesn't ask. He kind of states it is his contract is movable, but is he movable? There's a difference. Actually, there's not. When it comes to players who you, and this is not the case with Harrison Barnes at all, but if it's a player you don't particularly love, but they have a comfortable contract that doesn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form, the player is tradable. It's unfortunate, but a lot of times NBA contracts are looked at in deals more than NBA players are looked in in deals. So, yeah, Harrison is never going to like hurt your team, whether he takes you to a championship contender level or whatever. Like having Harrison Barnes on your team is never going to be a bad thing.
No, I totally agree. And I would point out too that like the reason I talk about sometimes with percentages of the cap is people are losing sight of just how high the cap is gone. And not only that, but the new television deal, how high the cap is going to go. It's going to be astronomical. It's going to be like, holy smokes. And I expect De'Aaron Fox not to sign an extension this summer and to wait around until he sees what that cap figure is before he signs his deal, his extension, because there is going to be so much more money. So what do we, the last deal that we're ending, that's almost coming to an end here, is it was a 9-year deal with $2.6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So every team is getting like roughly, you know, $27 million a year just in the national television deal. It's split evenly amongst all the teams. It doesn't matter how many games you have, right? And then your local television deal, you make money from that too. When this thing goes up, when it goes crazy, it's going to be, no, am I, like my math is wrong there, I believe.
You're asking the wrong guys.
Each team is taking in a lot more than what I just said. It's more like $90 million a year from the national television deal. So it covers a huge percentage of your salary. That's going to jump astronomically. Like I expect that deal to double, but like at a minimum.
Mm.
They were learning today that Prime, the Amazon Prime, is all in and has already like closed it. It looks like they're closing a deal. They've also closed the deal, it looks like, with ESPN/ABC, and they're looking for a potential fourth deal with TNT. And so like that's on top of your local television.
Well, you
deal,
didn't name the third
for the Kings.
You went from two to four. You didn't name the third.
Well, that's because ABC and ESPN are the same, but different.
No, I don't think it is. So, I think you're wrong. I think you're mistaking there. I think the third network, if you will, boils down to the Warner's Broadcasting Group, the TNT or NBC.
Oh yeah.
If something happens after that, I don't know. Like I don't know what I don't know if there's a like a place for TNT and NBC.
Yeah.
But in my head, NBC and TNT are bidding, so to speak, on the same television package. Yeah. Again, I don't know. They're open to a fourth, but I can't envision what that looks like, given they're already adding a third when they only have two at the moment.
And they would have all platforms covered. So you'd be doubling up with whoever that fourth one would be. You'd be doubling up on streaming, which I don't know if Amazon would like that.
Yeah.
You'd be doubling up on network, you know, if you went with
ABC and NBC. Yeah.
And then you'd be doubling up on cable if you went somewhere else.
So, yeah. James, I'd love
depend on your assets.
I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on this as we kind of nerded out over this news a little bit ago. So I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on this. We'll come back. We'll close out the week with our man James Hamm of the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Watch the show live or on demand on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Now, back to D'Lo and KC, presented by Sky River Casino.
Back here with our insider of the insiders, our man James Hamm here. As we close out the week, post-mortem week, now that we're done talking about the Sacramento Kings.
Never.
We ain't never done talking about the Sacramento Kings.
Nope.
But this is just kind of the, all right, it's hard to say goodbye to yesterday. What's next? And, James, you brought a message up from the chat house onto the screen about rumors, I think the or originated from Jake Fisher, that Brandon Ingram could potentially be available. Brandon Ingram, I think a player long loved by Kenny Caraway.
Absolutely.
We think about Brandon Ingram and Sacramento.
Yeah, it's a tough one. First of all, I don't know that they're gonna look to move Ingram to a team that is in, you know, that they're competing with. Like that may not be a huge issue for them. They might make a deal with the Kings, but
we own them anyways. You could send them over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the problems that you have is that number one, you don't have a lot of assets to give for a player like Brandon Ingram. Because if they're moving off of Brandon Ingram, they're trying to clear space for Trey Murphy, to start and to play major minutes and for Herb Jones and all those guys. So that's going to be the first thing I would point out. Secondly, the asset situation is going to be rough. So, you know, Ingram makes a lot of money. You could offer something like Herder and Harrison Barnes or some package that included that plus a bunch of picks. But you have to be thinking to yourself, like, what is it that they're looking for? And maybe they are looking for shooting. Maybe they are looking for shooting and like sort of a mature player in Harrison Barnes to be a leader as they try to take another step. It's always possible, but I also would look out for, you know, teams that are really good, that have more assets than the Kings. And that's always going to be the Kings' problem in this situation. There are teams like OKC, like the Knicks, like there's just a stack of teams out there that have a whole bunch of assets that the Kings don't have. And like not giving away your first round pick this year hurt. Even Monty McNair acknowledged that in his postseason presser, that like they would have had more options this offseason if they had given up their 2024 pick to the Atlanta Hawks. But yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting player. It's an interesting option. I don't know that Ingram has ever been considered like a dog. And I think like on the defensive end, he's marginal most times. But he is an elite, long, lanky, like scorer that would help a team like the Kings. That's the type of like high end player you're looking for. I would just, you know, again, is he the perfect fit? I don't know. He's not a dog, and he's another quiet guy. And so you would amass like an entire collection of really nice quiet guys as your entire core.
Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate. That's a no-brainer. You know, if you could find a way to acquire him while keeping Sabonis, Fox, and Keegan Murray, I mean, everybody else is available. Do whatever else you want to do. I think he is a perfect fit. He's not looked at as a great defender. But you talk about putting him at the three, moving Keegan to the four, and now you have a starting line. Man, you have a starting lineup of Fox, Keon, Brandon Ingram, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis. It's 50-55 plus wins. Easy.
He'd make you better. I would agree with that. Yeah. He's also only under contract for one more year at $36 million. For next season.
Well, that's what we talked about when we brought him up with Paul George and a couple other people. When you talk about somebody with some warts, that's the wart. You'd be giving up, you know, a lot of your core.
On a risk
that guy might not re-sign.
Yeah.
And I think that may be – I honestly don't think the Kings have enough to get into a bidding war, trade war with other teams. But that may be what brings the price down just a little bit. Is that teams may not be willing to give up their star young player that New Orleans is asking for a guy that's on the last
year. New Orleans
contract.
Ain't getting a star young player, though, are they? From here?
Not from here. I'm talking about like what other teams have to offer that's more than the Kings.
I got you.
So
I, got you.
I can't even think of a team right now.
No, I got you. You know, like, I know what you mean. I just wanted to
Portland
be clear.
Portland, Shaedon Sharpe or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Portland wouldn't be willing to give up Shaedon.
On a year.
Yeah, this guy might be gone in a year. Mm-hmm. So that might bring him, if he is available, that might bring him into the Kings stratosphere just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm still not sure they have enough. There's going to be another deal out there, I think.
Yeah, I also think that if they do move him, part of the reason is that Valanciunas is a free agent and they want to improve the center position. And so that's going to be the other piece. Like, what are they looking for? We heard
Alex Lynn.
You know, this... Yeah, exactly. Who's a free agent, which you can't trade.
Oh, yeah.
But we heard that the murmurs of this around the trade deadline, that they were trying to engage Cleveland because they were hoping to get one of their young, like tall, skinny, lanky dudes, whether it was Jared Allen or, you know, or Mobley or someone like that. So that might be something more that they're looking for is again, not trying to take a step back with a player, which is what I think everyone would understand, that if you're offering up Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter for Ingram and then you're giving up a bunch of picks, you're asking a team to take a step back, like from their high end talent. Like, they might have better depth with that deal. And it may open up a spot for Trey Murphy, but realistically what the Pelicans are probably looking for is an adjustment in their roster where they're trading a really, really good player for another really good player who just happens to play a different position.
Well, it feels like this offseason is going to be full of, I mean, we just had a conversation about Brandon Ingram. It feels like we're going to be talking about next week. Hey, James, what about ... Hey, guys, what do we think about this player? Or a rumor popped up from the Cleveland insider. I don't know what the... I don't remember what the paper is called, but what are you thinking about? You've got that stupid look on your face where you're obviously thinking about something. What is it?
I'm just asking a question.
Okay.
Just ask you a question.
This is going to be good.
This is what I want to do.
This is going to be a home run, James. This is going to be good.
Would you trade Keegan Murray to get Brandon Ingram?
I figured that's where you were going.
I think James, you got to think about it.
Sure. Nothing wrong with thinking.
I'll tell you, I would believe that the Kings would tell you that they believe that Keegan Murray will be better than Brandon Ingram and that he's cheaper and younger. And you think that you've got that player, it would have to be something else.
So I don't disagree with you, but that flies in the face, not saying you're wrong or anything like that, but that flies in the face of putting too much on Keegan's plate next year. Like, if I'm going to pass up Brandon Ingram because I think you're going to be better than Brandon Ingram, you need to get close to that next year. Because we have to make the playoffs next year.
I don't think you do. Yes.
You have to. You have to. And
you have to get close to Brandon Ingram? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, if you're not going to bring nobody
in. If the trade
in.
Is on the – okay.
Like, if you're passing – this is an opportunity to bring somebody in and, you know, you're like, nah, we think Keegan's going to be better. You either – number one, Keegan has to reach that level that I'm talking about. Or number two, you better have a hell of an ace up your sleeve to go acquire somebody else that's on Brandon Ingram caliber.
I'm going to put it in the what if I told you, you know, what if I told you, Kenny, that in Brandon Ingram's first season, he averaged 9.4 points per game. And in his second season, he averaged 16.1. And in his third season, he averaged 18.3. And that's exactly the trajectory of Keegan Murray.
Brandon Ingram was also like 18 when he came in the league.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't totally matter
as much. I think experience in the league does matter. I do agree there is a. There's a level of maturity. There are things in play, but I think in terms of when you measure like a young player's growth, I think league years in the league has more weight than years on earth.
For sure. I understand. But I mean, he was still a kid compared to.
No, for sure.
Keegan
no, 100%.
Coming in as a young man.
100%.
Yeah, and in year four, he jumped to 23 points per game, and he's been around that, give or take. I mean, this year he's down. He was a little less than 21 a game, but...
Different ask also. Yeah, that's important. Like, the ask of Brandon Ingram is different
he was traded. We ask him for Keegan to... at least I am. If you don't have nothing else up your sleeve, and I'm passing on Brandon Ingram, I can't... Like, 17 ain't going... 16 ain't going to get it. Like, I'm going to need you sometimes to... be what you were in that first playing game.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I would just tell you that the way the Kings think of Keegan, like you would have every thought that he could be really close offensively to the player that Ingram is, and that defensively he's a better player. And I would have a tough time doing that. And he's younger, and he's cheaper, and he's under team control for another 4 years after his rookie scale deal, which runs another 2 years.
Well, so you're not wrong, but all I'm going to say is fast forward a year later, and if we're in the same situation, I don't want to hear that. You have to make the playoffs next year. So if that's a gamble in itself. Ain't no developmental time no more. Like, you got to make the playoffs.
No, I get that. Yeah, I mean, Keegan has to take the leap in order for this to be what we think that, you know, why the Kings believe so highly in him. He does. He's got to take another leap. And I just don't think he didn't. I think the leap he took this year, it felt a little weird because, you know, his offensive numbers dropped a little bit as far as like shooting percentage, at least 3-point shooting percentage. But overall, you saw him take the natural progression step that a guy who usually ends up averaging around 20 a game takes. And so I would be comfortable with the Kings, if I'm the Kings, like believing still that he's going to take that next step, whether it's 18, 19, 20 points per game this coming season. And then on top of that, like his defensive progress has been like bar none. One of the most shocking things I've seen from a young prospect to like to come into the league and then out of nowhere, go from middle of the road league average type defender to a plus defender.
For the record, I don't think I would make the trade, but it is not open and close like it is for other people. Like, I'd have to think about this, evaluate what else is going on in my offseason, what other deals I may or may not have. Like, Brandon Ingram on the table, I got to think about that.
Shout out to everybody who went to lunch who have now all collectively left work. That's fine. That's cool. Everybody went to lunch, had a few drinks, came back, pretended to work for an hour, and went home. That's good.
Yeah, no, they really did come back for an hour.
They came back for an hour and left. Got
the,
everyone,
the station?
Everyone got their stupid little backpacks and left. Shout out to Caro. She's the only one hard working here. Unbelievable, these people. Can I push back on something a little bit? Because I think Absolutely. There's a little bit more context that is needed for Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram's biggest jump was year 3 to year 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, he had a huge jump from year 1 to year 2. But like when he settled into that player, he jumped from year 3 to year 4. That's important to point out because it's the year he went from the Lakers to the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And that's where his role changed a little bit.
And he was on a better team, I think. No, well, Pelicans might have been a little less. But that, when he was with the Lakers, they weren't good.
Regardless. And fine. How do we factor in the fact Keegan's still the proverbial third man here? And
well, yeah.
Like, if Brandon Ingram comes in, where does Ingram rank?
So
he's not one. No. We know he can immediately be the number two scorer, mm-hmm. but like, what does that mean?
That Tuesday, real quick, James, that Tuesday Kings Warriors game was a glimpse mm-hmm. into what could be. Like, the third man,
absolutely.
The third man doesn't have to be just 15 points per game. There are going to be nights when De'Aaron, with the type of player he is, Sabonis, the type of player he is, and what I mean by that is they are willing passers and willing to say, yo, you want to get your stuff up tonight? Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, give us 27 tonight. I'll give you my 21. I'll give you my 19. You give us 27, 28. And that, Keegan got to be ready to take that. And do that and say, all right, tonight's mine. I got a mismatch tonight, or I'm cooking. I'm about to get up 25 shots up tonight, and I'm going to give you – or 20 shots up tonight, and I'm going to give you 28. And we saw that, it feels like, two or three times this past year. Second year, going into the third year. Third year, I don't want to see that two or three times. I want to see that 14 to 17 times.
I know it sounds strange, but the way that you get there is by Keegan becoming a better ball handler and a better distributor for his teammates. Mm-hmm. That's how you get Keegan to take this next step, which is something that I believe that they're going to work on nonstop. I found it interesting when we did exit interviews with Keegan. He said very clearly, he's like, the last couple of weeks of the season, I learned a lot, because even though I've been asked to score in the past, I haven't been asked to be that guy. You know, when Malik went out and Kevin went out, it's like, hey man, you have to put up 20 a game. Mm-hmm. And he said that it was a major growth piece for him because he started to realize how difficult that is to, like, each and every night. And then on top of that, I think when you're looking at Keegan, like, if he can figure out how to get in the two-man game with Sabonis, there's an extra 5 points a game right there. Mm-hmm. Like, just him, like, going to the basket with Sabonis running alongside him, which is something that's helped. It's helped Kevin. It's helped Harrison get back on track at certain points in the season. Clearly, it's what helps Malik Monk be so effective. And if Keegan can grow as that type of pick and roll player, which I think the Kings are going to spend the entire offseason doing, they're going to have him working with Fox again. But they're also going to have Sabonis and him working on these two-man game things. You know, the pocket pass that we hear so much about in the Kings offense. If Keegan can be that player, especially at 6'8", and taking guys off the dribble and going downhill, he's going to have so many wide-open looks at the basket just as a finisher as well. And that's where I think you're going to see him just take this monstrous leap, or he has a potential to take a monstrous leap.
All right.
Oh, we see it.
Yeah.
Oh, we see. Because I like
Keegan.
Like,
this is all on you, buddy.
I like his game. I like the fact at the end of the season, I think he did step up. You know, when me and Kyle and even James were saying, like, "Yo, you gotta have your 18 shot attempts again. You gotta be aggressive. We can't hope for that." And he was. He stepped up. And like James said, he learned something. So I'm looking for him to take what he learned and now apply that to if Malik Monk comes back or, you know, whatever. Like, just this is your game moving forward. You know, this is what it is. This team needs you to be aggressive on that level every single night. And he seems to recognize it and apply it next year.
Yeah, I tell you too, real quick, because I know we're up against it. Kevin talked about like sort of the same thing, but in the reverse. Like, he thought he had worked on. Excuse me.
James is dying. Oh no! Oh no! Good for ratings, but
Jesus. He had worked on so much of what the Kings' offense was, the DHO, and how to come off that screen, and then when teams took that away from him, he didn't have anywhere to go because he'd spent the entire offseason kind of working on one facet of the game. And that's where, you know, Keegan needs to work on this other facet of the game that opens everything up for him, as opposed to closing his mind to, you know, like all of the other things that he does. So yeah, I think it's an opportunity. This is going to be a really good opportunity for Keegan to take another leap forward.
All right. We are out of here. We have night two of the NFL draft coming up here. Full coverage of the NFL draft all weekend long. Stay tapped in. You absolutely will not miss a thing. And we'll be back here beginning at 10 a.m. on Monday with James and Kyle on the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.